Spain is one of the most popular tourism destinations in the world, second only to France. It's no surprise that the number of tourist arrivals keeps skyrocketing post-pandemic. Spain offers some of the world's most passionate art and culture, magnificent historical sites, great variety, cuisine, and nightlife. To help you enjoy the rhythm of Spain and to expand your comfort zone, like staying up past 11, we're joined by two of my favorite Spanish tour guides who specialize in taking American visitors to experience the best of their country. Jorge Roman joins us from his home in Madrid, and Francisco Gloria is on the line from Pamplona. Amigos, welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you for hosting
us. Having me.
Yeah, now, hey, you guys have been busy as people have come back to traveling, and we'll start with you, Francisco. First, you spend months every year on the road with Americans exploring your country. What do you think it is about Spain that makes it statistically a leading destination of all places in the world for travelers to visit year after year? What is it about Spain?
Well, I think a lot of has to do with the vibe of the country. Really, it's a very relaxed country, very welcoming country. The thing is that we have a lot to offer. We have a lot of history, a lot of incredible museums, and especially incredible food and wine. So all of that helps for people to come over here.
Now, Jorge, as a guide, when you think of all of these attractions, what is your goal in shaping the Americans' experience when they come to Spain? When you start a tour, what do you hope to accomplish as a teacher?
I just want everybody to get immersed in the culture. You know, it's just to leave the fears in one side. Don't compare. Just do it. If you don't like it, you know where not to go. If you eat a piece of food and you don't like it, now don't try it again, but keep trying. There are so many different things out there which is not in your everyday life that you should try.
So in other words, don't be afraid. Get out of your comfort
zone.
That's
right, yeah.
Well, Francisco, when you take a group and somebody is getting out of their comfort zone and trying something new, what's one of the biggest surprises that a traveler from the United States, for example, will have when they come to Spain? What's something they didn't realize they might just be crazy about?
Well, I think one of the things that shocks more people is the food, and especially the tapas. So the way we do tapas has nothing to do with the way you guys do tapas in the United States. In the United States, people sit down and they're waited on the table by a waiter. Here, tapas, it's getting a lot out of the comfort zone for Americans, because you have to, I always tell them that you have to fight for your food. Americans are super polite, and you are always with a please and thank you. Here with tapas is like, I want that and that, go.
And Francisco, you're in Basque country, and in Basque country, it's particularly enthusiastic. It's like I always picture if you drop some bit of food into a little fish tank and there's a bunch of barracudas, it's just bah, 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 bah. Everybody's after it. And the same thing happens in a bar in San Sebastian. It's just, here comes a new, and it's a plate of, it wasn't even on the menu. A plate comes out of the kitchen and there's eight little tapas and it's bah, 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 bah.
You're so right. I mean, it's...
You got to be aggressive.
You have to be aggressive. And that is...
If you don't speak Spanish, you're at a disadvantage.
Well, you know, everybody says, I don't speak Spanish. You speak more Spanish than you think. You know how to say uno, dos, tres. And you know how to point with a finger. And I always tell Americans, you have beautiful teeth. Show them. Smile. Try to talk a little bit, and that's good enough.
I love that. That's an advantage we have, is all of the money we spend on our teeth. So take advantage of it.
Really break that barrier of, I don't speak Spanish. Don't mind. Talk.
That's it. Jorge, it's the same all over Spain, that we need to be, like you said, take a risk. Get out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. Order something that maybe you don't even understand, is a word you didn't know, and it might be a new favorite thing. That is so exciting.
True. As you know, Rick, my mother, she was blind when I was born. You know that already. And I grew up with a blind person, but she taught me how to eat things that I didn't like. And you know what? I transmit that message to my people. And that message is, if you like what you see regarding food, you have a 90% chances that you're going to love it in your tummy. So that's what I tell my people. And they say, at the end, your mother was so right. And it's true. It is true.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're joined by Spanish tour guides Francisco Gloria and Jorge Roman. And they're helping us explore Spain right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Francisco lives in Pamplona. That's in the northeast of the country. and Jorge is based in the capital city, Madrid. They host a podcast together. It's called Spanish Loops, and you can just listen to them, chat, and share their passion for Spain. We'll have a link to it with this week's show notes at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, Jorge, one thing you've written about is how you really love your country for its diversity.
Yeah.
And how you're proud to live in a nation with four official languages. Tell us why that matters, and tell us about the four languages of Spain.
The four languages there. One of them is Euskera, which is the name in Basque for the Basque language. They don't really know where it comes from, so there is many debates around it. The Galician language is another one. It's the land of Spain above Portugal, you know, it's the Iberian Peninsula. Then we have Catalonian, which is not a mix. It's just a language on its own. It's a language that may have influences because of the way where it is located geographically that created their own language besides Spanish. So diversity. For me, this is the key word and the most proud word to use when I'm touring my people and try to explain to them.
So it's a rich heritage with, as indicated by, four different language groups. So just to review, Castilian is what we call Spanish. That's most
correct.
Of the country.
Yeah.
Basque is Euskara, and that's an ancient language.
Yeah.
Up in the north. Catalonian is that whole area around Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And Galician is north of Portugal, right?
Portugal, yes.
Okay. Now, Francisco, you are from one of those language regions, the Basque country. When you go traveling around Spain, can you actually find, I remember going to sandwich shops in Sevilla or in Barcelona or in Santiago, and I see four languages on the menu in the sandwich shop, and they're all Spanish languages.
Yes. I mean, officially in Spain, we do have the four languages. Everybody speaks Spanish. But as their official languages, in many places you can find the four languages. It's more like a sign to say that we're open to the four languages. Because obviously, if you're in Seville and somebody orders you something in Basque, they will not understand it. I mean, the waiter will be like, say the Spanish, for God's sakes.
That's interesting. So it's really a political statement that we're happy to have Basque people here. We're happy to have Catalans here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I noticed when I go to the ATM machine in Barcelona, it will have Basque as one of the buttons for the language. I'm sure the people from Basque country could speak Spanish and get their cash out of the ATM. But that's just a symbol. It's not a necessity, but it's just a polite symbol to say, hey, we respect that you have your language and we're glad you're here.
There we go. That's what it is all about.
And also they are official.
And they are official, yeah. You know, Francisco, a few years ago, there was a lot of news about Catalan politicians. Actually, you know, Barcelona was trying to get more independence from Madrid. How are the Basque people doing today? What are Basque people saying about independence and being part of Spain?
Well, it's a complicated issue that is still running. The Catalan politicians, they want to leave Spain. And some Basque, they also want to leave Spain. So right now, the Basque separatist movement are very, very, very quiet. They're just waiting to see what happens with Catalonia. If it works, they will be next. If it doesn't work, well, too bad, Catalonians. Goodbye.
I never thought about that. So Madrid, I thought Madrid was overreacting to the Catalan problem, but Madrid was seeing that if Catalan goes, then Basque country goes, and then maybe Galicia will start to feel like they can have their own way.
But the problem, the core of this, is that if Catalonia leaves Spain, are they going to leave Europe, the European common market? Will they join euro money, or do they have to create their own money? So the problem is, if it works for Catalonia, the Basques are going to go next. But what about the Flemish? What about northern France,
yeah,
northern and Italy, and Scotland?
Every small region has to weigh the cost of independence. I mean, the benefits and the costs, because there's some practical realities. You have to have your own defense. You have to have your own, you know, currency. You have
currency.
To have
your own. So it's not easy.
Wow, what an interesting issue. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're talking with Jorge Roman and Francisco Gloria. They're our guides today to Spain. Francisco's website, if you want to check in on what he's up to, is travelingsteps.es. And Jorge's website is travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com. And Jorge is spelled J-O-R-G-E. Hey, Jorge, when Americans go to Spain, you've been leading Americans around Europe for years and years. They always go to the same places. Barcelona, Madrid, Salamanca, Toledo, Granada, Sevilla, you know, the Costa del Sol. What do you think Americans are missing when they just take the obvious Best of Spain itinerary? What's one destination you think is just really overlooked by American travelers?
Well, there is something which is, you cannot beat that. You cannot tell a traveler that is using their time and their money to come to this country and tell them, no, I'm not going to take you to the Sagrada Familia. Same with the Alhambra. Imagine yourself, Rick, that you've never been to Granada, you want to see the Alhambra. I'm going to tell you, no, my tour doesn't include the Alhambra. Obviously, you're going to be very disappointed. So blockbusters are there and you need to see them. But there are paths off the way to a tiny little town lost in the mountains that the only road to get into the town is the same road to get out of it. There's no, it's like a cul-de-sac, right? And you just get there and there's only one restaurant and that restaurant is going to do their best to provide the local gastronomy. Nothing to do with anything that you can find in big places. I would say there is a little, tiny, tiny little town in Andalusia called Peñolite, P-E-N with a little apostrophe on top, O-L-I-T-E. Peñolite. I mean, just to get there with a regular car is per se really difficult and scary. Not because of the road is in bad condition, it's because it's so snaky and it seems that you're going miles, but at the end, geographically, from the main road, it's just barely half a mile. But to get there, you have to divert to that place. Then you get
That's the trick. We have to go down those narrow roads, go down those dead ends.
Absolutely.
Have the spirit of adventure that way.
Yeah, true.
So, hey, Francisco, we're talking about Spain coming out of the pandemic. The crowds are back, aren't they? I mean, I think it's as crowded this year as it was before the pandemic. What are the challenges that crowds are causing? I've heard that in some cities there's so many tourists that some of the local people are actually thinking, you know, tourist, go home. This is a problem. There's too many of you.
Well, I think this is worldwide. We all thought that COVID was going to rethink what tourism is all about. We haven't. So we have a lot of people coming in. And what cities are doing are, first of all, for example, they're not allowing groups, large groups walking on the streets. Groups over 20, for example, in Barcelona, they're not allowed. In San Sebastian, we're about to cut down to 20 as well. People with microphones, you know, tour guides, if you're not wearing whispers, you're not getting in. The monuments now, the tickets are not anymore group tickets. They're individual tickets. And you have to go with your passport and you have to prove that you are Rick Steves. Here's my passport. Here's my ticket. This way, companies, they don't buy like 100,000 tickets and they resell them. So everything has to go by the person, which is very good.
So there's been quite a bit of change with the technology of selling popular sites. I've noticed that it's becoming more complicated for us because you can't have a guide with 25 people on the streets. You have to have two guides with 12 people each, and you can't be talking really loud to 25 people. You have to put the whisper systems on so the guide can talk just at a regular whisper and everybody can hear okay. And you can't take 25 people into the museum, or you can't even buy tickets in advance without the names on those tickets, which makes it tough if you're a tour promoter because you need to get tickets to promise to sell that tour. So this is all a sign of tourism. Everybody's going to the same places. There's more people than ever traveling, and we have to be smart with our travels. So much to talk about for going to Spain, but I'm glad that people are back on the road, and I'm glad that you guys are enjoying your tour guiding. Now, when you guys are guiding, what is the biggest joy for you? I can imagine, you know, taking somebody to the Prado and let them know that Spanish painting is just as good as Italian painting, taking somebody to Rioja region and let people sample the wine and let them know that this wine is as good as the French wine, or take them to the Valley of the Fallen and let them know how Spain fought for its independence or how it suffered in the Civil War and how it's still, you know, struggling to keep everybody together. What are the biggest joys for you, the biggest accomplishments as a guide, Jorge?
Well, one of the biggest ones is related to food. And when they are on their own, I tell them, look, in this place, you can have the best gazpacho ever. Or in this other place, you can have whatever. And when they come to me the next day, they said to me, oh, my God, the gazpacho you recommended was beautiful. To me, it's worth just, you know, the entire tour to go to those places and act like locals. So that's one of my big joys.
Mañana. Mañana. Mañana.
Jorge Roman is a tour guide based in Madrid with family roots in southern Spain. He's joined right now on Travel with Rick Steves by Francisco Glaria from his home studio in Pamplona in the north of Spain. You'll find them on Facebook, and they co-host a podcast about exploring Spain. Look for Spanish Loops on Spotify. They also offer private guiding services. Francisco's website is travelingsteps.es, and Jorge's is at travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com. Francisco, I'd like to finish with just one little crazy factoid that you enjoy sharing. What's a quirky little insight into Spain that you particularly like to share as a guide?
There are many little details that makes cultural differences. To me, one of the funny ones, and this is, I learned it when I went to Seattle, and you guys have in America a washcloth, this tiny little towel. Here in Europe, we don't have it. I mean, we do have one, but it's by the bidet. It's for the cheek, but the other cheeks. So when I saw an American using that that goes for the cheeks on their face, I was like, no, we don't use it. So I was like, I tell my people, don't do that. Don't use the bidet towel on your face, please.
That's a great example of fun little cultural insights. And you can have some you can have some embarrassing moments if you're not paying attention. Hey, you guys, let's just close our conversation with one word that you like to encourage your travelers to know and use while they're in Spain. Jorge, what's the language phrase or word that you really like your group to know how to use?
To use or to add always when they have that language barrier, I try to teach them what they want in the bars, okay? But always I tell them, do it with a big smile and at the very end say, por favor. They will notice your foreign accent, but if you say very quickly, 2 beers and 1 wine, por favor, that will open all doors.
Por favor. Francisco, what is the word along with por favor that you like your groups to learn and use?
So I got a lot in the Basque country, so I want my people to learn some Basque. And the word they need to learn is eskerrik asko, which is thank you. And it's kind of difficult for them to remember, but there's a very easy way. In America, you have the Costco supermarket. Imagine it in Halloween. That is a scary Costco. That's how we say thank you. Scary Costco.
And that means thank you in Basque country.
Mm-hmm.
Scary Costco.
That's it.
Beautiful. Hey, Jorge and Francisco, muchas gracias for joining us, and I hope to see you in Spain soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
You'll find links to our guests each week at ricksteves.com/radio. Chief Tecumseh came from an honored line of Shawnee warriors and chiefs in the land we now call Ohio. His efforts to unite Native tribes from Minnesota all the way to Florida made him one of the most important figures in 18th and early 19th century America. In fact, even white settlers he opposed admired him. Up next, Peter Stark takes us into a chapter of early American history you might have overlooked, where the conflicts of that day may still be echoing in our society today. It's Travel with Rick Steves.